on top. Good evening. You know, when a person is called on to introduce one of the great legendary characters of the animated cartoon industry, like the next recipient for the Annie Awards, the temptation is to kind of go through the old cliches like, I take great pleasure in presenting, I'm proud to give you, it's a thrill, and so forth. Those openings are really all right, but for tonight's guest, I really think we should use the word joy, because this is the way I feel about having the honor of presenting this award. Now, I'm talking about Dick Humor, of course. And now, you people sitting out there, you young people, you're going to see really the grand old man of animation. Now, this is once in a lifetime. Dick's hard to get out of the house. I know we've had other old-timers club like the Nine Old Men of Disney's, of which I am supposed to be a member. But nothing in our antiquity compares to the longevity of Dick Humor in the animation business. To give you a sort of a time frame, before I was even born, Dick was doing animation flipbooks. And when I was but 2 years old, he was already a full-fledged animator working for Raoul Barré, doing Mutt and Jeff feature film or cartoons. And for the next 18 years, he just did about everything. He was a jack of all trades in New York. He even had a comic strip in one of the New York papers. He worked for all of them. Besides Barré, he worked for the Fleischer Brothers. He worked for Charlie Mintz, and he finally came out and started working for Walt Disney. Now, it wasn't until the mid-30s that I started working there, and my first job was to learn in-between. So they put me down in sort of a basement room at the old Hyperion Studios, which is called the bullpen. But they didn't warn me of some of the hazards of that room, because every day at 11:45, and at 4:45, all the animators from the floor above would come stampeding down this wooden stairway, all scrambling for the exit. And there's nothing I could do but watch. Of course, then I didn't know an animator from a janitor, and in those days there wasn't too much difference. But one person began to stand out. I began to notice him. He was a dapper little guy who had kind of a ruddy complexion, wore a pork pie hat tipped in a rakish hat, angle with a little shaving brush up here, had a very New York cosmopolitan mustache, and he wore very tweedy suits, you know, those things that where they have those little horse hairs sticking out of the shoulders. And from the back, it looks like he put on the coat without taking the coat hanger out. Now, the next thing I noticed was that you only saw about 1 inch of the fingers out the bottom of the coat. But the most outstanding thing about it was that he never moved his arms when he walked. I mean, really, all of us, you know, when we walk, we swing the arms. Not this guy. And I was fascinated, because here he would come. And again, there were in me. I stopped one of the assistants, Tom Orb, and I said, what's with this guy who walks and doesn't move his arms? And he said, shh, that's Dick Humor. He doesn't have any elbows. Anyway, about 6 months later, I got kicked upstairs to work as Ham Lusk's assistant. And fortunately, Dick Humor was in the next room. And we were subjected to daily vocal barrages from that room, from Dick's room. Everything from quotations from Shakespeare, arias from operas, even trick French quotations. And what I liked best of all, when he'd rip his film on the moviola, he'd always lapse into a guttural Weber and Fields dialect. And this intrigued me, and so I started thinking of excuses to go in there. I guess I want to find out if he really did have elbows or not. And so I go in and start talking, and every time I walk in there, he'd say the same thing. Well, if it isn't Kid Warnball. That's all he ever said when I came in there. Well, if it isn't Kid Warnball. But he was a delight to talk to because he would tell me about the old days in the studios and all the old methods they used to achieve animated cartoon. I just thought this up. It was a wonderful conversation. He could talk on any subject. Art, music, history. He could tell you exactly how many English bowmen that Henry V had in the Battle of Agincourt. No kidding. He could talk about medicine. He was the first guy to tell me about cholesterol. I never heard that before. Dick Humor was a jack of all trades. He was an animator, and I loved his animation. It was always funny. Remember the duck in the band concert with those goddamn whistles? He was a director. He was a story man. And he was a very important sequence story man on Fantasia. In fact, we owe it most to Dick Humor for the fact that Walt Disney was weaned away from John Philip Sousa and introduced to the classics. Walt learned all about Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Stravinsky through Dick Humor's tutelage. Well, I'll have to admit that I spent a couple of days last week going up and down Hollywood Boulevard into those paramilitary shops trying to find a secondhand Purple Heart, because I really wanted to give this to Dick along with the Annie tonight. Because of all the people that deserve it, all of the things he had to put up with, all of the stupid Sammy Glicks that we've had at Disney from time to time, he weathered the storm, and he really deserved it. And what carried him through was his wonderful sense of humor. He always made you feel good. He was a joy to be around. And so, I think it's time to, and I should say, like the opening, it's a great pleasure, it's a great thrill, it's a great honor to bring the real grand old man of animation up here, who still has all his elbows, Hume Dicker. It's a piston from a 1933 Chevy.